Welcome to another edition of the Volunteer State. I'm Blake Topmeyer alongside John Adams and Adam Sparks of the Knoxville News Sentinel. And Tennessee fans are flying high after the Vols' victory over Kentucky on Saturday night. Really, best win of the season. Guys, I know that the shine has come off of Kentucky a little bit here in recent weeks, but still, ranked opponent on the road. I mean, this is best win of the year, right?
Yeah, well, I'm good with calling this a benchmark win. I've heard in my emails and Twitter mentions and all that calling this different things. A signature win is one that I've seen thrown at. I don't like the description of signature win. Signature win is if you're a mid-major school and you beat a ranked team. If you're an SEC school and you beat a top 10 team, so to speak. This was not a top 10 team. So benchmark win, because the benchmark is you beat a top 25 team, and Josh Heupel needed that. So best win, benchmark win. I don't like the tag of signature win, because signature win should be ahead of him. That should be, I mean, this week against Georgia, that'd be a signature win, but that's got to be a top 10 opponent, I feel like. And so Kentucky, really good win. There's better ahead, you would hope.
Yeah, I thought Tennessee's win over Kentucky was a signature win. I'm just kidding. What was significant to me, it was, okay, they beat a ranked opponent, but does anybody really think Kentucky's playing like a nationally ranked opponent right now? I don't think so. They're in a tailspin. However, I thought it was really significant to win a close game on the road, because Tennessee hadn't won any close games. They lost to Pittsburgh. They lost to Ole Miss, both winnable games. But this time they pulled it out under dire circumstances, because Kentucky was pressing them right to the very end. So that, to me, also made it significant. And the 14 minutes or so that Tennessee had the ball and to score 45 points, I don't think I've ever seen a game like that.
Well, but now I will push back a little bit. I've heard this a lot of, yeah, Kentucky, they're not really a ranked team. They got there, but they didn't belong there. That being said, I think this win actually looks better at the end of the year, because Kentucky's, 6-3 now? A soft 6-3, but they're going to finish the year at Vandy, then New Mexico State, and Louisville. They're going to finish 9-3 and then go to a winnable bowl. They're going to have 9 or 10 wins at the end of the year. So they will actually probably end up in the top 25, be there by the end of the year, and this win will actually look better.
Yeah, Kentucky fans never want to hear this, but the reality is, among SEC teams, at least, they play one of the easiest schedules in the conference every year. They won't admit that, but they do. This type of schedule where they can sort of skate their way to 7, 8, 9 victories, that's not uncommon for Kentucky. They count that, they got that Louisville game as their out of, their Power 5 requirement, and then they play Mississippi State. One of the more manageable teams in the West, usually. The SEC West every year is their crossover. So, yeah, another year where Kentucky can get to maybe 8 or 9 victories without having all that many impressive wins along the way. Speaking of an impressive win, or at least an opportunity for one, Georgia coming to town on Saturday. Number one ranked Bulldogs, with a defense playing as well as probably any defense we've seen in college football since Alabama in 2011. Any chance the Vols make this interesting on Saturday? And by interesting, I suppose I mean, score more than 14 points, which nobody's done against Georgia this year. The most Georgia's defense has allowed is 13 points. So by interesting, I mean score 3 touchdowns or more and make this a game into this to the second half.
Yeah, I think that's what's fair, is that you put that on it. Interesting is getting to 14, like you said, nobody else has. There's only been one team to score 2 touchdowns. If Tennessee can score 21, 3 touchdowns, if they can do anything like what they did against Alabama, then this is more interesting than any other game Georgia has had. I think there's a pretty decent chance of that. I think one thing that UT has shown is that Josh Heupel can scheme up a way to score against anybody. And again, that was including Alabama. I think it could be interesting for a half or maybe more than that. I think we could see something somewhat similar to what happened to Alabama. Maybe not get to the fourth quarter, but somewhere around there.
Yeah, the line I saw was 20.5. I think Tennessee wouldn't be a bad bet with that. I could see Tennessee losing by 17 points, being competitive for part of the game. I'll just be interested. I think it's a really good test for Heupel's offense. We've talked before about how Heupel's offense can really exploit weaknesses with bad teams. And Kentucky has a bad defense right now. And Kentucky, Missouri, South Carolina, Tennessee scored 40-plus points in every game. But to come out against the best defense in the country and show you can move the ball, I mean, you know, like you said, if you score two touchdowns against Georgia, this defense, it's like celebration time. What an offense. I mean, Georgia's been that good. So I think there's a chance for Tennessee to come out of this game with its fans feeling pretty good about a loss, as good as you can feel about a loss.
Well, sort of on that point, today at the press conference, I asked Josh Heupel, a question where essentially I wanted to know if you need to change things because you're playing a team that's much better than you. And the way that I put it was, you know, Josh, on paper, Georgia is obviously a better team than your team, and they're better at what they do than what you do or anybody else does. And that Josh Heupel, that's usually like overly polite and affable and all these sort of things, you could see his blood boiling just a little bit when I said the line, obviously they're better than you. And I mean, empirically on paper, there's no doubt they're undefeated. They're number one in the country. And then somebody asked a question a little later about Hendon Hooker's competitiveness. And he said, well, you know, I'm pretty competitive too. And so you could tell his competitive nature was turned just a little bit. I think that will rub off, and I think they're behind closed doors. I think there's a little bit of a chip on the shoulder of this team. You know, I saw it with some of the players in the interviews where they said, you know, we can do what no other team can do because we have something no other team they played has, which is an up-tempo offense that can score on anybody. I think Tennessee really, really is motivated to do something in this game.
You were just trying to do him a favor there, Adam. You were trying to create some bulletin board material, or really, in this case, it was audio clip material of, you know, New Sentinel beat writer says Vols clearly inferior to Georgia, which, as you said, it's just kind of a statement of a fact, but still, is fan the flames there. A little gasoline on the fire. Get these guys fired up over at Neyland Stadium, and then you can take credit for it if Tennessee comes out and gives Georgia all it wants. Say, hey, I motivated the troops.
I think one of the most interesting things to me about this Georgia defense is its level of pride. I was watching the end of the Missouri-Georgia game Saturday, and Missouri's driving. Georgia's backups are in on defense. But it got close to the goal line, and you could just see Georgia just bowed up. It was determined not to give up a touchdown, and it didn't. There's no let-up with this defense. I think the other matchup might be interesting as well, though. What can Tennessee do against Georgia quarterbacks? Probably Stetson Bennett. Can it pressure him? Georgia's down an offensive lineman, an offensive tackle. Missouri stopped Georgia's running game. So what do you guys think about that? How would Tennessee's defense hold up against Georgia's offense?
Well, I mean, they've got to figure out some way to get off the field on third down because, you know, Kentucky converted, like 8 of their first 9 or something like that. That's been a season-long issue for Tennessee, and it's going to continue to make the time of possession lopsided. They brought pressure when they needed to the other night, and they got out of some sticky situations by getting some sacks and some hurries against Kentucky. You almost think they're going to have to do that and just take more risks doing that, bringing more pressure than they otherwise would to, you know, either give up a score or make a sack. Because you can't leave your team out there for 8 minutes and then give it back to your offense for, 2 minutes with score or 3 and out. You've got to have something a little more balanced between those times. And that may make Tim Banks say, hey, for better or worse, I'm going to bring pressure and see how this works out.
I think Georgia's offense is going to be just fine. You know, there's this narrative floating around out there, and I've probably contributed to this, maybe we all have, of, you know, Georgia winning with old school football, and to a certain extent, that's absolutely true. You know, I said earlier, I think Georgia's defense reminds me of that 2011 Alabama defense, and you know, Georgia's out there blocking a punt, scoring on a block punt against Missouri on Saturday. That, again, that reminds me of throwback Alabama. The fact of the matter is Georgia ranks second in the conference in scoring at over 38 points per game. Now, I know the defense and its special teams have contributed to that, but this isn't, you know, this isn't an offense that's really struggled to move the ball, you know, week after week, and is winning 9-6 games behind its defense. Stetson Bennett, I think, has actually been pretty good this year, and I've been slow to embrace that. Like, it's like a former walk-on. You know, we saw him last year. He really held Georgia back at times last year, I thought. This year, he's throwing a pretty good deep ball. Those play-action downfield shots, I mean, he's making them count. He had a really nice game against Missouri. I know that's a low bar, but had a nice game against Missouri on Saturday. He's had good games against Kentucky, against Auburn. I think Stetson Bennett's actually playing pretty well. I think the Georgia offense will be just fine enough, and I think that defense is going to be suffocating. I'm a little less optimistic, I guess, than you guys of Tennessee covering the spread. I'm not a sports bettor, but I believe the term is lay the points, right? When you pick the favorite to cover the spread, I think. And we talked about this being a 20.5 point spread. I'd be picking Georgia to lay the points if I was someone who lived in the betting world.
Well, and I wonder with Stetson Bennett, and this is probably a better question for Georgia, but when does the tag former walk-on expire? I've used it. You just used it. We've always used it, right? But that's got, I mean, he's been around for quite a while. He's number 3 in the country in passer rating right now. Number 4 is Hendon Hooker, by the way. I think there is this narrative for a while of, you know, that guy's just, you know, he just learned to throw a football last week. And look what he's doing with Georgia's offense. You know, I mean, they have two very good quarterbacks. The fact that one was a 5-star and one was a, you know, a former walk-on, I think, you know, fogs up the conversation a little bit. That is a really, really good offense. They just happen to be better on the defensive side.
That term will expire when sports writers stop using it, which I don't plan to. John, you plan on stop calling?
Not at all, Blake. And so I don't even form a walk-on. That doesn't register with me. Once you're a walk-on, you're always a walk-on. He walked on. The fact that he won a scholarship, that's great. But that doesn't change the narrative. He was a walk-on. So he's walk-on quarterback Stetson Bennett.
That means he was bad, 5 years ago? Is that what that means?
Well, here's the thing. I'm kind of like Blake. See, last year, I thought it was laughable when Georgia got ready to play Alabama to think that it had a chance of beating Alabama with Stetson Bennett at quarterback. Because Alabama shows up and scores 40-something points. Last year's team did. That was one of the greatest teams ever in college football. So I just thought that was laughable. But I look at Bennett, I don't laugh at him anymore, even though he's a walk-on. I just think he's much better. He has great field awareness, and he really is comfortable in this offense. They have a lot of kind of different stuff they do. They've got three NFL tight ends on their roster. I just think they have a really good way of using those guys, and they have 5 different running backs they play. It's an unusual offense, but it is effective enough. So it'll be a challenge for Tennessee's defense. I don't doubt that. I just think Tennessee will be able to hang with them better than most teams have because of Tennessee's offense.
I think Stetson Bennett reminds me of what the quarterbacks at Alabama had, you know, a number of years ago before they had, you know, a run of Heisman Trophy candidates. They had guys that would facilitate the offense, would move the ball around, and they would hand it to and throw it to Heisman candidates. Stetson Bennett is more in the ilk of those guys, and that seemed to work, you know, a decade ago, and it could for Georgia as well.
Stetson Bennett is Jake Coker from 2015, basically.
That's right.
When Alabama won a national championship in 2000. Actually, he's probably playing a little better than Jake Coker did that year. That might be slight disrespect, but I think he's kind of from that mold.
Well, I remember Coker beat Tennessee with the last drive in the final 5 minutes. It was a clutch drive. Tennessee was winning that game. It helped to be able to hand the ball to Derrick Henry, of course. But, so there have been other quarterbacks like this. It's kind of like we thought, well, this is done. You know, the single wing eventually went away. And game manager quarterbacks, they had their time. But now they've been relegated to the past, and we've moved on to dynamic playmakers. Stetson Bennett's, I will say, he's making some plays. He sure did against Missouri.
Thank you for finding us here on the Volunteer State. Just three walk-ons trying to get our way through the podcast. We appreciate it if you subscribe to the Volunteer State. That way you do not miss an episode. So click that subscribe or follow button. And if you haven't already, would really appreciate it if you can give us a rating or review. Those help us get in front of more listeners. Guys, I thought in a way Tennessee, at least the Tennessee fan base, I don't know if Josh Heupel or its players care this much about this, but Tennessee fans almost won twice this past Saturday. Tennessee beat Kentucky, and then Florida got trounced by South Carolina. And the Dan Mullen experience at Florida is suddenly spiraling off the cliff after three straight New Year's Six appearances. You know, Florida's headed for a bad season, and Dan Mullen is on the hot seat. Big picture here, guys. Who is the bigger threat to this juggernaut Kirby Smart is building at Georgia long term in the SEC East? Is it Tennessee and Josh Heupel? Or is it Florida and either Dan Mullen or whoever they hired to replace Dan Mullen?
Well, Tennessee is the bigger threat long term, if it's one of those two, to Georgia in the East. And for all the predictable reasons that we saw coming months ago, Tennessee has the better coach, Tennessee has the better quarterback, and Tennessee has more stability in recruiting. That's all the reasons why. And we saw that coming back in August. That does kind of paint the picture of where this thing has gone, because to think that Josh Heupel seemed like a better bet than Dan Mullen would be laughable a few months ago, but it's been a disaster in Gainesville. Some of the comments that he's made and then had to apologize for in recruiting has really shaken that program quite a bit in Florida. You know, the way that we saw Tennessee's quarterback situation go early in the season, where Josh Heupel picked the wrong guy and then he picked the right guy and all that turmoil, it's worse at Florida right now. So in the short term, Tennessee looks like a more stable program. In the long term, that makes you think maybe that will stay. Georgia is miles and miles ahead of either of those programs, but I think the fact that Josh Heupel just started and the early returns are really good, I tend to think Tennessee, if you had to say one of them in the next 3 years will threaten Georgia, it would be the Vols if it's either of those.
Yeah, I guess it depends on what we call long term. I mean, Florida's beaten Tennessee 15 of the last 16 games. It beat Tennessee with Jim McElwain as head coach. It never beat Will Muschamp, who I thought was a horrible head coach, fired at South Carolina and at Florida. So, no, long term, I mean, Florida is, to me, a better program. But if you talk long term, if the next few years, we don't know what's going to happen with Florida, because Dan Mullen's is worked himself onto the hot seat, though nobody could have seen this coming when the season started. And Josh Heupel has made strides for Tennessee. So I think if you want to say, if I looked ahead to next year, I think Tennessee could be better than Florida next year. But in 5 years, I wouldn't say that.
Okay, maybe I need to redefine the long term. I'm saying, let's call it 5 years. In a five-year span, if someone is going to consistently challenge Georgia in the East, in so much as anybody will, if someone's going to do it consistently in the next 5 years, is it going to be Tennessee or Florida? I think it's Florida. I think who's been there more recently? It's been Florida. They were in the SEC championship just last year. They've been to three straight New Year's Six bowls. They've had, five or six double-digit win seasons since Tennessee's last double-digit win season. I mean, heck, Will Muschamp won 11 games. Jim McElwain won 10 games 1 year. These are not good football coaches. And Dan Mullen, before this season, was looking all right. So I think Florida's been there more often. They've been there more recently. I think it's Florida, but you guys disagree? And give it a five-year window. Who's going to challenge Georgia more in a five-year window?
Well, again, challenge within a given year or challenge consistently, because I think those are two different things. I think Florida has the better chance of its stock plummeting and then rising quickly. I could see them having a terrible year, which right now this year would probably qualify, but then recovering very quickly. I see Tennessee steadily rising each year. I think there's a better chance of that. So if you're talking about a team that has a chance, you know, three of the next 5 years to do it, I think it's maybe Tennessee. If you're talking about who has the best chance to win the SEC East, aside from Georgia in the next 5 years, I would say it's Florida, because I think they're going to hit at least one out of the next 5 years. I think they rise quickly. I think they recover quickly, quicker than Tennessee. I guess that's where I would stand. Are we talking about winning the SEC East, one in the next five, or somebody that Georgia has to look over its shoulder to? I think that one would be more Tennessee.
I'm hearing some hedging of bets here, Adam. Well, John, throw some money on the table.
Yeah, I'm not hedging. In a 5 year period, Florida to me is going to be the bigger threat to Georgia. Tennessee, though, I just think it could be next year. I mean, there's just so much going on with Florida's program right now. We don't know what it might look like next year, but I agree with Adam that Tennessee is on an upward trajectory, and so I would think it could be better next season in this one and possibly finish higher. I mean, it lost to Florida by 24 points this year, but it's ahead of Florida in standings right now. So I would say next year, Tennessee. When you talk about a five-year window, I couldn't go against Florida.
Of us three, does anybody think that Georgia doesn't win the SEC East? If Kirby Smart remains there, it doesn't win the SEC East each of the next 5 years.
I take Florida in at least one of those 5 years.
I think Florida would win probably. I think the over-under would be Florida wins one out of five. I'm not so sure about Tennessee. But again, I think Tennessee consistently could be a eight or nine-win team, which puts you in the conversation. I would see Florida more as winning 12 games in 1 year, but then back down to seven another year.
Yeah, that's fair. And it's also, I mean, it's easy to sit here and say that Georgia will just never drop off. But, you know, I don't think Kirby Smart is Nick Saban. And so I could see Florida maybe winning it a year. Do we think anybody else in the SEC East could win the division in the next 5 years? Anybody?
I'll say no. I think it's going to be Florida and Georgia in the next 5 years. Vols fans are going to cringe at that. They're going to unsubscribe from this podcast. So somebody else say Tennessee.
I don't think Tennessee, if I had to put money on it, I don't think Tennessee wins the SEC East one of the next 5 years. But I think there's a chance. I really think there's a chance.
I think with Florida, too, we've only seen glimpses this year with Anthony Richardson, their backup quarterback. But that guy did some phenomenal things early in the year before he hurt his hamstring. What if that guy turns into a Cam Newton type? I think the picture could change dramatically. He just has tremendous big play potential. And I know he's faltered lately, and everybody's struggling at Florida. But, yeah, I just think, you know, based on history, that Florida would have a better shot of winning once in the next 5 years. Sure.
I feel like both of you guys are also a little influenced by the head-to-head with Tennessee and Florida. Both of you guys, or one of you guys, said Florida's dominated Tennessee head-to-head. Next 5 years, if let's say Josh Heupel keeps things on this upward trajectory, let's say he does find another quarterback after Hendon Hooker, which I think is a pretty reasonably good chance of that with his track record, Tennessee is probably better than Missouri the next 5 years. They're better than South Carolina. They're better than Vanderbilt. I think, especially coming off last week, I think that we could say they could be better than Kentucky over the next 5 years. You're really just left with Georgia and Florida then. And so you're just talking about Florida being better than Tennessee because Florida's going to win that game head to head. Does it really just come down to that if you're comparing the two?
This is some of getting to Atlanta does, yes. But I'm also thinking about the potential to beat Georgia. I'm thinking about that too, to beat Kirby Smart's program. I think you touched on it there earlier, Adam. I think the ceiling in a given year could be higher for Florida. We've seen that. You know, we've seen these 10, 11 plus win seasons under Florida. Now, they haven't done it consistently necessarily. I mean, 2017, they won four games. 2013, they won just four games. You know, this year, they're sitting at 4-5 and the wheels have fallen off. So, yeah, there's been some bottoming out years since Urban Meyer has left. But I see that ceiling, Florida hits a higher ceiling in a way that Tennessee hasn't since the end of the Philip Fulmer era. So I think, you know, to me, that's sort of what shapes my perspective too, is that you want to play in Atlanta, you're going to have some really good seasons. And we've seen Florida have those higher ceiling years.
Yeah, looking at history too, I just can't see Tennessee winning in the swamp. It rarely ever happens. It rarely has happened since the early 90s. So I think Tennessee could beat Florida in Neyland Stadium. I would not be shocked if I think Tennessee could beat Georgia once in the next 5 years. Tennessee's played Georgia closer than it has Alabama or Florida. It's had games against Georgia's good teams where Georgia just didn't play as well as it needed to play. It's caught them on off days, I thought. So, yeah, I don't think that's out of the question that Tennessee could pull off an upset over Georgia, but I can't see it winning the division in the next 5 years.
Well, I think maybe the bigger question is, if you're a Tennessee fan, which one would you rather be in the next 5 years? The team that could spike in 1 year and get to Atlanta, but maybe unstable, like what we're talking about Florida would be, or a team that, if you're good, can consistently win 8-9 games every year. And that's what we're looking at more as Tennessee if things go well for Heupel. Which one would you rather be? Because Butch Jones, I think, got this program more of looking like the Florida model, where they threatened to get to Atlanta 1 year. They should have gone to the Sugar Bowl and then ended up bottoming out. I tend to think Tennessee fans would prefer the steady 8-9 wins and see where that goes long-term than they would the spike. But I suspect you could also ask UT fans, would you trade a bad year if you could get to Atlanta?
Yeah, I think I like the consistency scenario, and I think most Tennessee fans would too. And, you know, you say get to Atlanta. We've seen teams, Florida's Jim McElwain, two teams get to Atlanta. But what did they do with the opportunity? And we see this a lot. Teams get to Atlanta, SEC East champions get to Atlanta, and then just get steamrolled. And so I like the 7-8-9 win scenario for Tennessee.
Well, and what's also going to turn this conversation probably the next few years is what the playoff looks like. Because the playoff expands enough, getting to Atlanta could get you into a playoff where steady 8-9 wins gets you to the whatever bowl that probably doesn't carry as much weight in a couple years as it would now.
The interesting thing, though, is, guys, we're in the second week of November in Josh Heupel's first season, and we're talking about even the possibility that over the next 5 years, Tennessee could be a bigger threat to Georgia. And John, you mentioned the possibility of sometime in the next 5 years, Tennessee might beat Georgia. I don't know that I wouldn't have thought we were having this conversation in August. No way. No way. So what a change of fortunes, I think, for Florida since the preseason. And also, I think this speaks to the encouraging signs we're seeing in this year one under Josh Heupel. I mean, Tennessee could win 8 games this year. They could lose to Georgia, win a bowl game, still win 8 games this year under Josh Heupel. No first-year coach at Tennessee has ever done that since Philip Fulmer.
Yeah, and he would, by doing that, he could match Jeremy Pruitt's second season.
Yeah, and he didn't even lose to Georgia State along the way. All right, guys, enjoyed the conversation. Hopefully y'all did too. Tennessee has a chance at the number one team in the nation on Saturday at Neyland Stadium. Find all the coverage at KnoxNews.com, and we thank you for listening to this edition of the Volunteer State.